Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, building a household of faith on a foundation of grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information. Thank you.
...who have been encouraged by things that God has helped you to do in your home, to share some things with us. These are some principles or practices that we've employed in our home that have helped us in training our children. And if you can do those kind of briefly and pointedly. And also I'd like to encourage children perhaps to share with us a little bit of just a word of thanks or testimony of how God has blessed you in a godly home. Sometimes children are led to believe, my parents are the only ones who do this or think this or are strict or are calling us to holiness. And sometimes it helps other children to hear you say, this is what our parents have called us to, and it's been an encouragement and a blessing for us. And so I'm not going to do that, make you try to think about that right now, but I wanted to kind of let you think about that while we're talking together over the course of the next few minutes, so that you might be able to, number one, dads, just share some encouragement. What are some things that you've done to help in training in your home? What are some practical ways? Because it's easy for me to stand up here and say, disciple your children. It's quite another thing sometimes to put that into practice. And also, children, share with others and with your parents even. This might be a good opportunity for you just to publicly say, Mom and Dad, I'm thankful to you for God's the way God's worked in our lives. So that's a good opportunity. So I guess I really covered most of these as we were thinking through the end of the sermon, but I wanted to kind of just glance across them again. I met Frank and Lisa. It was good to meet them this morning. We were even talking just briefly over by the table about the reality that the Scripture is full of lots of admonitions of fathers and raising their children and the pictures of the failures of those. I know that we're mindful of the reality that the Scripture says that the sins of the fathers are demonstrated or visited upon the generations of their children to the third and the fourth generation. And some of us have even already lived to see the effects of our own either good investment or bad investment in our children. They're like mirrors a lot of times, aren't they? You know, we can look and see our lives in our children. And so we want to be encouraged to remember that this is an incredibly difficult task. No more demanding task under heaven, probably, than to be an effective parent. Because of all the implications, the way that it's so far-reaching. And at the same time, there's no task for which there is more readily available grace from God. As God calls us to do and to be these things, He gives us opportunity to press after that. One of the conclusions, number four, that I wanted to kind of press on our hearts is the reality that sometimes we tend to not teach our children in certain areas because we haven't developed that area in our own life. I don't know if that resonates with any of you guys, but you know, sometimes I'll kind of hedge on something because I'm not very good at that myself, or I haven't worked very hard in that area in my own life. And so I want to encourage you to purpose to understand areas in your life where you need to make progress, and then pick some of those things specifically. Because the reaction to a message like this sometimes can be, I'm not doing very well at so many things, it's almost impossible to try. And you can kind of get overwhelmed with the press of that. So I want to encourage you not to be, don't try to eat the whole elephant at one time. The way you eat an elephant is a bite at a time. You're acting like that's a new one for you. If you've never eaten an elephant, yeah, you eat an elephant one bite at a time, and sometimes the elephant-sized job that is ours as being effective parents is done one bite at a time. So that's why I want to encourage you to pick out one or two things, purpose to work on one or two things that you can, by the grace of God, be better at, and then begin to develop some consistency in your life in that regard and call your own children after that. Okay? So now you've had some time to think. I wonder if, first of all, are there any questions, or was there anything that I might have said that wasn't clear or that might have been unclear or made fuzzy in your mind that I need to clarify. Sometimes I don't communicate exactly what I intend to. And so if there's anything I need to clarify, I'd love to be able to do that. Any of those kinds of questions about the message this morning? Okay. So I'm the best communicator you've ever heard. My book will be... Oh, thank you so much. Taylor said, you just had a lucky day. Oh, that's priceless. Humility is great, isn't it? How about comments or yeah, I think that was on target. One of Richard.
Mm-hmm. Why isn't somebody taking care of me? Okay, so that's one part of it. The other part is I'm scared to death because I'm not equipped to meet their needs. So, right off the bat, it leads us to ineffectiveness. We sort of check out. We decline to step up to the plate because I don't want to have to meet. I don't want to have to meet their needs, and I'm not sure that I'm going to do it anyway. So why try? And I think that's, by God's grace, is something that we have to look at, very carefully in where we are in our relationship with God, in our concept of who we are, how we're equipped, what our family needs, and by God's grace, are we going to be the men and fathers that our family needs? That's a big question.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to trust God for that? Or are we going to check out and not face it? It makes us mad because our needs aren't getting met, and I'm not sure I can do it anyway. I don't know what she needs. I don't know what they need.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I failed here. Why try? I think that's a huge bit of ineffectiveness or reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I hope, I'm sorry not all this is getting recorded. We'll have to figure out a way to put a big microphone out here or something like that. But I think that's why this, a beginning point is in terms of learning to love. And part of this, I guess I can just kind of throw my heart on the table. Some of this was revealed to me when Kathy and the children were away. I got a new kind of fresh look at how selfish I really am. And so that's where a lot of this whole started. I started digging and looking for how am I going to address this, and that's what, kind of how this we wound up where we did today. So that I think that's a beginning place, like you mentioned, that we have such a tendency towards selfishness and who's going to take care of me. That's a beginning point of being able to get beyond that. And it is a grace. It's an operation of grace. It really is. Tim, you're.
I don't think we'd ever heard that talk in the pulpit before. We talked about working from
And that, it's hard, isn't it? We swim in a culture. This is the place where we live and breathe, and it's the air. It's the place where we are, and it's hard sometimes to not go with the flow. Such a cliche, isn't it? Go with the flow. It's hard to do that. We need to pray for. That's a place for us to pray for one another, as we're trying not to just be strange for the strangeness' sake, but as we're trying to be biblical, which is always going to be counter to the culture. Other comments or questions or anything about just the... What was the name of the book, by the way, Richard? Do you remember? I hate when people do that to me because I can never remember book titles.
Well, this is a small book by Larry Crabb, a Christian psychologist, called Men and Women Enjoying the
Day. Yeah, okay. He's done some good things. Yeah.
The core of that book is about self-protection and selfishness.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy. I just could not get away from this whole the picture there of sacrificial love. And we've already taken some steps in our home in terms of let's talk about this. How do you find the balance, guys, men, ladies? How do you work the balance of honoring Father in his role as the head of the home, without fostering a sense of take care of me, everybody else sacrifice so I can have, and so forth and so on. Do you understand the question? Sean, she's fine. Does that question make sense? Yeah, because you don't want to present, we're not peers. My children and parents are not peers. Children are called to honor and respect and obey their parents, and yet how do you balance that call and command to honor, respect, allowing children to learn how to serve their parents and to appreciate what they have by serving and so forth, without lording that over the children and saying, here I am in my easy chair, I am the king, do for me. Frank.
Back from not allowing us men to show by example. You know, it's easier to talk than thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? What I'm trying to say, it's easier to them to see it in practice and not be hypocritical about it, saying, do as I say, not as I do. But when we do it, when we're stepping out, we're walking like Christ, and we're doing it, and they see it. Also in this, the response to children should say, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Because Jesus set the example of the response between a child and a parent. Jesus showed that example by saying, Father, not my will be done, but thy will be done. So first we as parents should be setting the example, saying, hey, I can do this. Watch Father do this and I'll do that. And then the children see that and they learn from the example. So we're not hypocritical about saying, well, just let me do it, let you children do it, and never seeing the parent do it. Doing it with the diligence and love, and so that they can see that when they give you their heart, and their eyes observe your ways of doing it and how to do it. That's really how Christianity in itself is the essence of following after Christ. He did it first. He set the example.
And that reminds us, I'm sure you think about Paul saying, follow Christ or follow me like I follow Christ. Imitate the way I follow Christ. And so that's a that's another reminder there that, that of the position of father is to be saying to children, hey, live your life like I'm living it. So that's they learn how to love their mother and appreciate her and so forth by the way I do that. Share with us, if you will, some just practical encouragements or ways, things that you might have done. Oh, here's a way to make discipleship a good, effective, fun process at our house. What are some things that you found to be effective and helpful over the years in terms of the way you're discipling children, teaching in your home, and things like that? Because that doesn't happen, doesn't look the same in every home. And we're always looking for different, better ways to do that. You guys want to tell me about that?
I'm not a guy, but I'll share something. I appreciate, you, first of all, your sermon this morning, because that's one thing that I feel like the church does not teach enough for our children to hear it from someone else. I'd like myself to be able to hear it from our pastor, what it really is to be about the man. And when Kevin and I first got married, he was, did not grow up in
thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at the Best Western on the corner of College and University.